There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay. Well, it is a Tuesday night. Just about 1 minute and 40 seconds after 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time, and today's date is the 23rd of April, 2013. Want to welcome everybody to tonight's live broadcast, and remember that after the show is over, it takes me about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we get it uploaded, and then it streams 24 hours, 7 days a week. You do not have to wait for tonight's show to be part of the archives to listen to it. For the entire week, you can just go to the Abiding Presence and just click on Listen Live, and you can hear tonight's broadcast until next Tuesday night's live broadcast. I wanted to start to show that because we still get emails where people are waiting to listen to tonight's show. Okay, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to talk about a couple of different things that all have to do with the same thing, which is getting and having, and most importantly, retaining a connection and relationship with Christ. The on-again, off-again has to be extremely frustrating. I personally would think that it would be tough to see grace work, but yet not having any experience of grace working in your own life. Or you have a small frog's hair experience with grace, and then it's just back to quote-unquote business as usual. This has to be very frustrating. We talk a lot about grace. We talk a lot about being either 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out of the door. We've also referred to living as a spirit being versus living as a human being. All these things are literally talking about one specific issue. And the issue is, are you a Christian or are you trying to be one? Are you saved? Are you reborn? What are you doing with it? Or is there anything at all to deal with? Do you really understand what it means when Scripture says there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of this world? Because depending on the smallest, most insignificant choices that you make, and remember, the choices that you make on a day-to-day basis, that's how you live. Because how you see yourself is how you live, and how you live determines between heaven and hell. And so if you back that up, if you take those steps backward, we come back to the equation of it's how you live and how you perceive. Right, Jim?
Yes. I find the more we're talking about this on the road, and I was just in Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky, had a really good time there this past weekend, and some really good folks out there, and some great times of sharing some of these things here. And, you know, one of the things that really causes people to do some inner looking at their own lives and reflection is when you make the statement, how you do life is how you do faith. And if how you do faith isn't working, it goes directly back to how you're doing life. That really is a great statement to think about. So tonight, we want to discuss some of these things and kind of open up, just some ideas. I know I want to present some of the wonderful things that, from Scripture, that show us how that we're so wonderfully connected with God, and there is a divine connection through Jesus Christ, and we need to identify with Him. And then I want, as I do some of this, I want BJ to be able to go ahead and share from his perspective on some of it, because I have some things tonight I want to just go back and forth between a religious type of a concept and then getting into the real nuts and bolts where it works. In fact, earlier we were talking about an example. This will be a good chance to just make this. I was looking at a website recently, an auto website, and something caught my attention while I was looking at this website. It said future vehicles. So I clicked on it, and what came up was future vehicles that they're thinking about having. Now, really, that's kind of how it is, because it doesn't mean any of them are going to go into production. They call them concept cars.
Right.
And usually they're really far out, you know, futuristic stuff. You know, if you've ever seen a movie that's sci-fi, it's kind of something like that.
Star Trek stuff,
sure. And very few concept cars ever make it to production, do they?
No.
And most of the time, the concept cars, when they make it to production, don't really look like the concept.
No.
It's modified greatly.
And they usually do not sell very well because they're so radical.
Yeah.
It's so different than what people are used to. They just cannot perceive them.
So I want to take this concept,
okay,
and say some of the things we talk about that are scriptural, we talk about them in a very religious way. And I'll share certain things here that you'll see are great thoughts, but we leave them in the people's minds as a concept.
See,
and it doesn't get into production.
I don't want a concept car. I want a concept pickup truck. I want a concept pickup truck that when a flat tire goes flat, it instantaneously turns into a loaf of banana nut bread.
Oh, gee.
Because then I could... Well, I don't share banana nut bread. I mean, I would never give you any banana bread.
That's one of your favorites?
I like banana nut bread. Huh. But try to stay on the point, please. But I think that, concept is a word that a lot of people don't use every day. It's right up there with perspective, perception, point of view, field of vision.
Right.
You know, it literally goes back to what we've talked about. What I say, you put four people on opposing sides of a four-way intersection with a piece of paper and a pencil, and you slam two cars together, you're going to get four different versions of the accident. And it's because of where they're standing and what they see and what they hear, how much were they really paying attention.
Okay.
And I think that one of the issues with people becoming Christians is their perception and what they think reality is has virtually nothing to do with a relationship with Christ.
Okay.
And they have no skill set, they have no mental images, they have nothing to go on to give them any kind of idea that they're on the right track, or more importantly, that they're being misled and they're on the wrong track.
I just looked up in the dictionary here the word concept, and this is what it says. I want you to go off of this and keep talking. It says, an abstract idea, a general notion. Now, if somebody has their thoughts about God in an abstract idea and a general notion, you might forget about it ever working. That doesn't say anything about experience.
You know, and the average person, if they really stood up and wanted to be counted, they say, well, how can I? I've never had a prayer answered.
Right.
I've never seen a quote-unquote miracle or manifestation. I mean, you know, all I have to go on is songs, TV, and movies. And once a week, I go sit in a building or a structure with a bunch of other people in our best clothes. And we say, God is good, God is great, and we sing about him. And then we all pray for things, but it just seems like one Sunday is just like the last Sunday, and last month was like the month before, and this year is like last year, and I'm pretty sure that next year will be just like this year.
So don't you think this goes to why it's so easily accepted to have people say, well, man, you know, I got at least something working in my body, or every once in a while I get a healing, or I had one 20 years ago, and isn't that good? So we get into that kind of a where it's not absolute enough because it's just a concept.
I think it's terrible. And I think it's real dangerous, and I think it's sad, and I think it's just plain wrong, because when you use words like almost, temporary, it was there, that was gone.
Partial,
sometimes, mm-hmm. a little bit.
Momentary.
Something's better than nothing. 2 out of 20 got it. Whenever you start rationalizing and compromising the Word of God, where there is that something is better than nothing, and a little bit shows that something's going on, now what you have done is you have literally thrown the Bible out the window. Because everything in the Bible is extremely unfriendly, rude, abrupt, and absolute.
Mm-hmm.
It's either this way or not at all. There's no gray area between heaven and hell. Either you're doing it right or you're not doing it at all.
Right.
And so when you have these, something happened 2 years ago, or, thank God, my leg could have been broken, but I just need knee surgery, and that's not as bad because it's arthroscopic. Or, thank God, I can take a prescription and feel better. When you have these compromises, when you have these, like, let's patch the crack in the wall and hang a picture over it, and nobody will know the wall isn't sound anymore. When you do these kind of things religiously,
mm-hmm.
and when you look at God this way, you're putting limits, boundaries, curbs, gutters, electric fence, razor wire, chain link fence, whatever you want to say. You're putting limits of success. And what's interesting is when you ask somebody, they say, how much power does God have? Well, nobody knows. He has all power. He's God. Does he have any limits? No, God can do anything. There are no limits, there are no boundaries when it comes to God, correct? And everybody goes, yes, that's right. There are no limits, there are no boundaries to God. Okay, is grace God's love? Yes, grace is God's love. Okay, so then that means there are no limits, there are no boundaries, there's no rules at all.
Right.
It's just pedal to the metal for grace. Yes. Then why are you upset defending this structure that you give money in a basket every week because every once in a while something happens? Where's the comparison? Because if you're going and you think it's a great place and you think God's there,
right,
because something happens every once in a while, or you've heard of something happening somewhere else, I says, are you not missing the mathematical connection of either it is or it isn't?
Yeah, well, if you take this word, I mean, I see where you're going totally, and I just want to add this
thought. Because this is conceptual.
Yeah, I know. And if I take the word concept and say that I'm worshiping more the concept of God, and according even to this definition, that means I'm worshiping more the abstract idea of God, or I'm worshiping the general notion of God instead of actually experiencing God himself. There's not much about the concept of anything that has a relationship attached to it or that has experience attached to it, because it's not absolute, is it?
No, and there's all kinds of instances. If you look at things, conceptually, perspectively,
right,
with what we're talking about now, and this is just one of many things we're going to go about tonight, but take what we're saying and apply it to the travels of Jesus and the things he ran into.
Mm-hmm.
The time when, you know, he was camping for 40 days and he didn't pack any lunch.
Right.
And some guy says, wait a minute, you've been walking around for 40 days and, you know, you haven't even had a Happy Meal from McDonald's. And he says, no. And he says, well, you ought to be hungry. Well, for a second, he was hungry.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, somebody was trying to give tangibility and validity to Jesus' flesh.
Yes.
When Jesus was trying to be in the Spirit with his Father. Now, you can apply this same thought process to... what was that guy's name? Donald, that was walking with Jesus on the water?
Yeah, Peter.
Well, that's close. Well, anyways, Peter's walking with Jesus on the water, and everything's fine until Peter all of a sudden says, I'm walking on water. How can I be walking on water? And so he compares with what he's doing with Jesus to what he thinks is reality. And what happens?
He started to sink.
Yeah, socks get wet. Well, that's on him. And when Jesus thought he was hungry, that's also on him. Now, there's other instances in the Bible where it's like a chandelier in grandma's formal dining room, you know, the dimmer switch, where you can
right.
turn the lights dimmer or brighter. Now, if you think your life is on a dimmer switch, where sometimes it's great, sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's just okay, well, then... Now you have to compare your life to Scripture and what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not having the success you have, well, then you're saying that Jesus' blood wasn't enough. That, I don't know, something else should have happened to him.
Right, right. Or what people do today is to say... we're going to pray that God would send his glory so that we can have it in the measure that would allow us to have the results, which is doing nothing more than blaming God for your problems when he already gave it to us.
Right. We received an email that I think is a good time to read here. And it's from someone named Mark, and it says, maybe you could clarify something for me. This came in yesterday, the 22nd. It says, maybe you could clarify something for me. Why is it that when talking about church services where some people are healed but others are not, the testimony or focus is on those that didn't get healed, but when discussing things like the Boston bombing, we are to focus on the fact that only 3 people died? I understand the encouragement to look for grace everywhere, but it doesn't seem like you guys do that when discussing church meetings or Christians that are getting some results, but not full, complete, and instant results in all areas of life. Enjoying the show. P.S. Not listening live, but will eventually hear your response if you choose to address this on the program.
Okay.
Now, what's your comments?
Well, my comments about this is the fact that we talk or that we allude to the fact that the real testimony, if things aren't healed as they should be on the spot, things aren't absolute, everybody's not healed, only partial. The reason why we do that, even though we're not saying that a healing isn't good, it's great. But the reason why we do it is to protect people, because this show is about each individual having their own experience with God. To protect people from the idea that anything less than all the way is acceptable, because it's not. We have to have people realizing they can go without limits and boundaries and have everything that God wants. Because the moment you start making allowances as though this is great and this is wonderful, without showing the other side of how many didn't,
right,
and how people are spinning, then people start doing what? They start making allowances for what is less than what God has for them.
Yeah. I think this is a really good question. Whoever, you know, sent this in, I think, is they're thinking. but I don't agree with this, you know, discussing church meetings. Well, it's not a church. They're not church meetings. Because then we're right back to what I said. If you're calling it a church and you're having meetings and you're calling each other Christians and you're saying that some results may happen, but sometimes they're not 100% complete and they're not instant, well then that means that somebody's wrong. Somebody's mistaken. Because Scripture says, ask and you shall receive. All prayers are granted. All your sins, what I like to say, all your choices are forgiven. And if you agree that God has so much power that we just don't get it, and if grace is in our presence, then 100% of things are fine and dandy because you're a spirit being. If you acknowledge that a church or Christians can have less than perfect, less than all that is described in Scripture,
right, what was provided,
then there's a question to be answered. Somebody's wrong. Either God is weak and the Bible is off, or this person's perspective, they're not getting the perspective all the way.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who listens to this show. But I mean, I think that this person can represent buckets of people. I mean, I'm talking billions. Just buckets and buckets of people.
Right.
Because everybody wants, you know, I've never met anybody that just didn't want peace. And what I mean peace,
right.
I'm not talking about
right.
war and grenades
and
guns. I mean, I think that one of the nicest things that happens to a person is wherever they are, it doesn't matter. They can be sitting in their bathroom on the commode or at a red light. But I think everybody just wants a moment where their mind just drifts. You know, they're looking at clouds in the sky, and they think that there's clouds in the sky that look like potato chips that look just like dead presidents' faces.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a song on the radio that just takes them to another time and another place.
Right.
Or they're just sitting in their house, and it's just quiet, and they're not thinking about anything, and until all of a sudden there's a noise and they think, shoot, I missed that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that feeling in the spring or the summertime when you're a little warm and all of a sudden for a brief moment there's this gentle, cool breeze
sure.
that touches
sure.
your face.
Yeah.
And you just go, wow, that was really cool. And then all of a sudden you go, oh man, it's gone. Where'd
right.
that go?
Right.
I want that back. And then you think, you know, I really should have enjoyed it more.
Mm-hmm.
I think people want that peace.
Yeah.
But I think they want more of it. I think they wish that they could have it, that's how they describe their life. And I think the only way that someone can get that is through grace, through God, through Christianity. But you're not going to get it if you're still comparing your life and the world that you have and trying to assimilate Christianity and God into your world.
Well, let me give you an example
here. It's like oil and water. It's
yep.
not going to mix. It's not going to mix. But before you do, hold on, because I screwed up.
What?
I didn't talk about emails or text messages.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Folks, if you want to email the show, I'm sorry I didn't think of this sooner. Email's up. We haven't received any yet. The way it is you just, it's all one long word, no spaces, no capitals. The name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Theabidingpresence@gmail.com. We have instant text messaging. The way that works is the first word of your message has to be JIMBJ. Both of our names, no capitals, no spaces. Jim BJ needs to be the first word that you type in your message. And then you send it to a 5-digit number. There's no one in front of it. There's no area code. It's just 6 9 69302. So 69302, the number for instant text messaging, and the abiding presence at gmail.com. We love comments, we love emails, we love text messages. We won't use your name or we won't read it on the air if you do not want us to. So just send us some stuff.
Okay, I'm going to give you a scripture over in John 14:27. And notice how this works. It says, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus is talking, "my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So notice the correlation that he uses. Peace he gives, but what would cause unrest? Letting your heart be troubled by the world. Having fear. But what does Jesus give us? He gives us peace. Peace that's absolute. In fact, there's other scriptures over here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 that says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," that means having been made new through Jesus Christ, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So look at what he's saying there. He said peace comes from being made right with God, and it does what? It accesses grace, God's ability in everything. So I love this because this goes back to how everything we want to share on this show has to be, and what we try to do the very best we can, is to show the unlimited and the boundless grace of God and God's love that wouldn't ever hold you back from having more and more and more. And I think it goes to this statement. I'm going to give one scripture here, and then I'm going to let you give the worldly view, which is actually talked about a lot in what people call churches. It says this, David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." Psalm 23 and verse 6 says, "You anoint my head with oil," verse 5, "my cup runs over." Now, what's going on in the world? Or we could say it this way, this concept is a worldly concept, but it got in the church, and people act like they're really doing God a service by saying what? I want you to say it.
What about the cup?
Yeah.
Well, I've always thought that it was stupid. It has nothing to do with being saved, nothing to do with me having a relationship with God, but I've always thought that this was really dumb, because someone would say, okay, do you, BJ, do you look at the glass as half full, or do you see the glass as half empty?
Right, right.
And I'd say, are you, what? And they'd say, well, BJ, do you think the glass is half full, or do you think the glass is half empty? What kind of person are you? And I'd say, I'm a smart person. And I'd say, if they wanted the glass to be only hold that much, the glass would be shorter.
Smaller.
It'd be smaller.
Yeah.
If you have a 16-ounce container and you put 8 ounces in it and you ask what's wrong, there's only two things that can be wrong. You didn't put enough in it.
Right.
Or it's a waste of material, and the manufacturer could have two 8-ounce containers instead of wasting all that glass for one.
Which says both concepts
are wrong.
Are wrong and limitations.
Yes.
And what did David say? He said, "My cup runs over." In other words, it's so full that it continues just to spill over on the ground.
And when he says that my cup is full and it's overflowing, it's a metaphor. He's trying to say that my relationship with God and grace has so much power, so much love, and it's endless that it's just going everywhere.
This is again why we're bringing this up has a lot to do with the whole religious concept that allows you to feel good about a cup that's at least half full.
We got our first text message tonight. It's from Sue. You know, Sue lives in Livermore.
Right.
Says, "Sue is listening in Livermore, California. Your show is such a blessing, and thank you." So that's how you text the show. Just Jim, BJ, no caps, no space. And then you send that to 69302. Still no emails. You know what? Maybe Sue's the only listener. Maybe we're just talking to Sue.
Well, that's all right.
We got another text that says, hi, I am... What? Oh, it says, hi, I am unlistening from Tulsa, which means I would be listening if I didn't have to work. I'm exploring T.A.B. website archives. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, that TAB, that's the abiding presence. Well, I just wanted to make sure you knew that, Jim. Well, you know, folks, you don't know how I got to hold this man's hand sometimes and just lead him around like he's just a, you know, I just got to lead him around like he's just a little 4-H show steer, you know, and say, here we go, this way, this way. And so, well, that's good. They're listening on the archive. So
I get a kick out of how you think that I have to be. What? I have to be led around sometimes. I mean, is it that apparent that I just don't get it, or what?
Oh, no. Hey, you're the man. It's your show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're the boss.
See, I wanted you to say that.
You know, the only reason I'm saying this stuff is because, look, under the table, I got my stuff boots on. I got my chore boots on from cleaning stalls.
I saw that you did.
Yeah, you know, the insulated rubber boots that go all the way up to my knees? Yeah, they're used to walking around and stuff. That's why I just said that stuff. But, folks, I want you to think about something when we talk about perception, perspective of things. And it's really true. Because think of this recipe always. It'll calm you. It'll help you to really see the changes that you can make, how easy they are. And then we're going to back them up with, hey, find it in that book where it talks about, you know, whacking off your nose if you sniff something bad. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, find that, would you? Thanks. Okay. The first thing you have is feelings and emotions. And whatever you're feeling makes you have a thought. And when you have a thought, once you're thinking about something, then you act on it. And then there's a reaction to your action. For instance, you see somebody that you know that's a friend. Well, you feel their friendship. You start thinking about the history. Those thoughts are positive to you, and the action is you want to shake their hand, you want to give them a hug, you want to share a soda pop with them. Something occurs that's positive because it's positive, positive, positive. Okay. You smell something bad, you hear something that frightens you, then your thoughts are of negativity or danger. Which means that you feel you have to protect yourself. You have to watch out that something bad is going to happen. So your actions are that way. People just don't grab a candy bar and stick it in their pocket. They think about how they want that candy bar and how they don't want to pay for it. And there is this recipe to everything in life. You know, when you say someone, why did you lie? Why did you steal? Why did you cheat on me? Why did you do this? And they say, well, I don't know. It just happened. That is such a lie. Because that doesn't make sense, does it? Because you know that the first thing you have are emotions and feelings, and they give you a thought process, and that thought process leads to actions, and those actions have a reaction. So if you apply this perspective to things, think about it. Okay, read that about, you know, cutting your ear off if you.
Yeah, I'm going to do it in the Message Bible, Matthew 8 and 9. It says, if your hand or foot gets in the way of God, chop it off and throw it away. You're better off maimed or lame and alive than the proud owners of two hands and two feet, godless in a furnace of eternal fire. And if your eye distracts you from God, pull it out and throw it away. You're better off one-eyed and alive than exercising your 20/20 vision from inside the fire of hell.
Okay, now find it in the...
King James.
Yeah, find it in the King James. But see what they're saying there. They're talking about if you're looking at somebody contrary. You're looking at someone and you think they're ugly, you think their dress makes them look fat, if you think their car is dirty and unkept, if you think you don't like their tattoos, you don't like the fact they got a coat hanger hanging from out of their nose, whatever you do, that you're looking at this person, look what that's doing to your feelings and your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You're having judgmental feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You're having disdain, and you're conjuring up, you're manufacturing negative energy about somebody else. What in that equation is going to give you access to God and grace? What's it say in the King James?
If your hand or foot cause you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into a lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire.
See,
pluck it out or cut it off.
Okay, so now I want you folks to kind of put this together real briefly. All your sins, which means all your choices are forgiven, all your actions are forgiven. If you and think about where you're focusing on, are you a human being or a spirit being? There's nothing good of the world. There is nothing good of the flesh. So if there's nothing good of the flesh, nothing good of the world, all your sins / choices are forgiven. Now think about this, what it's saying. If you even look without being a Christian, if you're going to talk without being a Christian, if you're going to act without being a Christian, before you ever get the point of doing something, if you're just having those thoughts and Christ is telling you to cut your hand off, cut your foot off, poke your eye out, cut your tongue out, it's because the flesh means nothing to a spirit being. And it's better to sacrifice the flesh than to sacrifice the spirit being in the flesh. Because the world is coming to an end. Hello? Revelations.
Right.
Nobody cares about the world. Heaven and hell, they don't care about the world. They're both going to disregard it in Revelations. There's nothing good of the world. Well, of course not. It's not permanent. It's temporary. There's nothing good of the flesh. Of course not. It's temporary. It's not permanent. But being a spirit being is. Going to hell or going to heaven, that's pretty much etched in stone. Sorry for that, thinking about...
No, it's good.
What was his name? Moses.
Moses.
I was going to say Marty in the burning bush, but that doesn't yes, make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it was Charlton Heston.
Well, let me... that's right. Galatians 5:16. I just kind of on the hindsight of what you said, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen to this next verse. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The Message Bible, I'm going to read that now. My counsel is this, live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence?
We got our first email. It came in about 6 minutes ago. It says, Jesus never turned anyone down who wanted to be healed. And I feel it is very wrong to settle for less than perfect. If you can have the whole load, we need to know it and learn to expect it or find out why and how did we miss it. That's interesting. And then it says, through religion, everything gets watered down. And when you really need help, then you don't know how to get it.
Right. That's very good.
You know, that was a nice email. Thank you. That came from somebody named Joy. And we got, it says, looking forward to the show in Kentucky. Thank you. Are you going back to Kentucky?
I was there already.
Oh.
I'm headed to California this week.
It says, looking forward to the show in KY. Isn't KY Kentucky?
Yeah, it's Kentucky.
Oh.
Nope. Hmm. Maybe they got their dates mixed up. Hopefully not.
Well, I don't know. If they did, it's your fault, not mine.
Well, it's on the website.
Okay.
So.
Which website?
JimHockaday.com.
And they can get to that off of the links on the
And I'll use this to say, too, as just knowledge. On the website, there's all kinds of meetings that we've done. In fact, the Wednesday night meetings that we talk about at the library are actually, you can purchase those or download those on the website.
Yeah.
Oftentimes there's some video that's running of a YouTube, or there's information about some type of a meeting or something that I've done that's actually visible, or something that they can look at and see instead of just hear. And then there's all kinds of there's a tab that goes directly to the abidingpresence.com.
You have YouTube on your website?
There are some.
Do you have the YouTube of the raccoon snow skiing?
I didn't get that. Did you see it?
Yeah, it's really cool. YouTube. Yeah, no. Somebody's got a pet raccoon and they're snow skiing.
No, I didn't see it.
You don't have that video?
I don't.
Well, there you go. There's a tip for you. But, you know, think about other things in the Bible. You know, it talks about it's easier to put a pig through the eye of a needle than it is for what? Like the wrong kind of people, which means that there's a lot of perspectives, a lot of things that people have the wrong way.
You missed it by like about 500 pounds.
What are you talking about?
A ton. It's what? A camel, for crying out loud.
What are you talking about?
You could stick a pig through an eye of a needle. It's short and it's fat, and usually they're greased down like a greased pig at a fair.
You can grease.
You can't get a camel through.
You can grease a pig because a pig is kind of round. They're kind of like a bullet. You could get a greased pig to go through a needle. You can't. See, Jim, this is what's wrong with you. Jim, have you ever heard of a greased camel? I've never heard of anybody greasing a camel. Well, you know,
No, and that's why I said you
look.
Missed,
a camel's
missed
got
the
these
scripture.
Ups and down bumps. This long head, these big ears. It's got these long legs. There's Jim. What's wrong with you? You can't grease. I've heard of greased pigs. I've even chased them when I was a kid at the fair.
Hey,
greased pigs.
Hey, the only when you look at a pig in the scriptures, a whole herd of them got filled with demons and ran over a hill and fell into the water and were dead. Or Peter had a vision at Cornelius' house, and Jesus said, go ahead and kill one of those things and eat it. So, they don't go through eyes of needles. It's the camel. That's what Jesus was talking about.
Are you sure?
Yeah, totally sure. I got it right here in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, that says, it's easier for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. It's harder for, let's see, let's get it right here. Just a second, folks. Got to look at my stuff here, all flustered about a pig going through the eye of a needle. It says, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Can you? Ranger's growling. Ranger! What do you say? What do you say? Yeah, see, she's the greased camel thing. Ranger, do you believe in greased camels? Grease camels, Ranger. See, she's growling. You made my dog growl because you brought up... See, all right, can we get back to the show, please?
I think we need to.
Why do you always go off on these, like, bizarre things you talk about?
Well, you know,
we just
sometimes it just loosens the whole show a little bit for people
really?
To relax a second.
Well, we don't have very many text messages. We've hardly had any emails. Obviously, Jim, people don't
maybe
care.
Maybe no one's listening tonight.
I don't think people care for greased camels, and it's your fault for bringing it up.
Okay.
All right, we got this email 4 minutes ago. It says, hi, Jim and BJ. Would not this be a fair view of life? ? In life, concept would fall in a continuum. What do I mean by that? Imagine a line where on one end, the left end, is no knowledge or concept, and on the other end, the right end, is full fellowship. Concept would fall somewhere on the line towards the left end, short of knowledge. One cannot excise concept from life, but one ought not to stay at concepts. So different solutions are required for people who are at different stages of their walk. For those who have no concept at all, they need the gospel preached to them. Then on what is possible, and then somewhere along the way, it becomes more concrete, and at times the Holy Spirit may intervene and give a taste of reality to encourage or help crystallize knowledge by experience, where experience then becomes what is in effect a positive feedback loop strengthening fellowship. It says best. It says, P.S. No need to read or mention my name, but feel free to discuss this if you wish. I disagree.
Well, the reason why I disagree is this, and my point that I would make differently is when someone's preaching, they shouldn't be preaching a concept. They should be preaching a life experience. So that someone that hears doesn't get a concept, they actually get an experience that they actually can experience themselves.
I think testimony is saying what grace has done for you today.
Well, that's what I mean.
Or what you've seen grace do.
Right.
And I think this perspective is, I don't think it's like really bad. I just don't agree with this person's position, because I think that you just never know. I mean, you never know. You could talk to somebody for 5 minutes or 5 years, and you never really know what they're feeling, because what they're feeling is going to be what they're thinking, and what they're thinking is going to come out in their actions. That little recipe, how things fall.
Right.
My philosophy is I look at everybody as equal, and I think that I should give them the most absolute, harsh, matter of fact about Christianity and grace as I can, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't have a couple of different types of meetings. You know, he didn't say, well, I just came to your village and this is the first time I'm here and I know you guys have heard of me, but you know, so we're just going to start with the very basics. You've been given grace because Jesus died for it and his blood's paid for it. You're born with it. There's no equivalency exam. Either you have it or you don't. It's been proven through the history of man that age, sex, or religious beliefs, or where you are, has no bearing on someone's ability to use, enjoy, or benefit from the hand of God, which is grace. And so I don't see there being stages. I think it's all or nothing.
Well, I mean, I totally do get what she was saying, or he, what they were saying, when it comes to, you know, one side is the experience of God, the other side is just knowledge without experience. And if someone doesn't have a concept at all about God, they need to hear the word preached. But that's the part that gets sticky. Because depending on how a person actually perceives the word or perceives their ability to relay to someone else truth that produces for the other person an experience too. And this is what Jesus was all about. The things that he shared brought people into an experience of God. He wasn't sharing truth to give people concepts, to give people doctrines. He shared truth to bring people to experience.
I think that's
where I just want to make sure there's a clarification.
I think that part of the problem with organized religion, no matter what denomination it is and where you are and how you dress and what day you meet on, I think that's part of the problem, is that they give enough information that can be compared in Scripture. But they don't give enough information for whatever reason. I'm not saying it's all some nefarious, villainous thing to pull the wool over to people's eyes. I think most of the time it's literally the blind leading the blind. There's some guy or woman standing up at a pulpit, and all they're saying is what they've learned. And all they're doing is passing on what they believe to be true. It's inaccurate, it's ineffective, and it doesn't work. But they don't know that, and neither does their congregation, because it's been happening for 2,000 years now.
Yeah.
It's not right, but I understand the wrong in it. I think that it's really true what they say. A little bit is a little bit of information is dangerous.
Right. Sure.
And I think you can apply this. I think you can apply that. What is that? That's not an analogy. It's not a metaphor. It's a synonym. Synonym. I don't know.
I didn't go to school.
That's obvious. I'm sorry. It was just too easy. I just couldn't pass that one up. But anyways, I think it's true. I think a little bit of Christianity is dangerous. I think a little bit of information about Scripture is dangerous. I think a little bit of worship is dangerous, and I'll tell you why. Because the reason I say it's dangerous is because it opens up the door for failure, for random acts of grace. It opens up the mathematical odds of on again, off again. It's here.
Right,
now
right.
You see it, now you don't.
Yeah, that's the danger right there.
I think it is extremely dangerous because it sends a message that comes out like I know I've been healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation.
Right.
We don't always understand God's plans. We're just mere mortals. And
but it also goes to this too. We discussed this earlier, and that is most people are afraid of success. They've lived in failure. They've learned how to cope. They've learned how to deal with things. Their perspective is always trying to behind the eight ball, trying to make up ground instead of being ahead of the curve.
But see, there's a big problem with success. There's a major problem with being successful. With being accurate, with getting it.
Am I going to say responsibility?
No, it's because you look back at how long you were wrong.
Mm.
It's easy to enjoy tennis or bowling or baseball or volleyball or fishing or hunting or knitting or crochet or sewing. It's real easy to enjoy a hobby when you got it down. But it's very discouraging when you're just learning because you fail and things don't look right. They don't turn out right. And it sort of looks like it and it sort of sounds like it or tastes like it, but it's really not. And what you find is unfortunately 2,000 years later, after Jesus is up there with his dad, there is a lot of manipulation and a lot of acceptance of failure,
yep,
and compromise.
Yeah. Yep.
And so what happens is it's easier for someone to think they can walk into a truck stop and buy a lottery ticket that's going to put buckets of money in the bank for them than it is to sit in their own living room and have a conversation with God.
Right. Yeah, this becomes acceptable, and I've got scripture to kind of back up
you
some
do?
Of this. Yeah, over in...
There's truck stops in the Bible?
I'll work on that one. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice what Paul says here. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not even able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal, are you not carnal, and behaving like mere man?" Okay, I look at what Paul's trying to say here, and he's endeavoring to bring people to a very stark reality. And if you think about what Paul's saying, there's no fluff in this. He's getting right to the heart of the point, and he's saying, listen, you ought to be progressing as spiritual people, but you're all spinning in circles, and you're allowing strife and envy and division and saying, I'm of this group. No, I'm of this group. Well, that group's not good enough, and this group isn't good enough, and we're warring with each other, not realizing that all of this hinders your ability as spiritual beings to connect with God. And later down in the passage in verse 16, I want to share this with you what he says. He says it in a question, and he says this, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, notice what Paul's saying. He brings people that are acting like God isn't there, and that they who say they have fellowship with God are not able to connect with God. He brings them right to the heart of the issue, and he says, don't you remember or don't you know that you, your body, is the temple of God and God dwells in you? You know, we say, and BG, I want to bring this point up. We say so much things like, hey, God is in me. And I want to bring scriptures to light here in just a few moments. Many wonderful scriptures like this, but in the context of, we give verses of scripture like this, but we still don't connect. And we don't make the connection that to continue to drown in worldly thoughts and actions and feelings is to denounce or to dismiss the fellowship that your spirit can have with God. We don't realize this. And in the midst of it, we quote verses like this that are great. But we don't seem to bring them to the place of experience. And I think this goes straight to the heart of even the email that we had gotten just a few moments ago.
Yeah, I got to do some catching up here. Todd and Cheryl, they're tuned in from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Yep.
We got another instant text here. It says, finding out where we missed it is so important to figure out our mistakes to move forward. Sometimes in the church, we just accept when we miss a healing. That was a good text. Folks, if you want to text the show, the first word of your text needs to be Jim BJ. And then Jim BJ, your message, comment, or question, and you text that to 69302. No one, no area code, just five digits, 69302. Email the show at theabidingpresence@gmail.com. We got a real interesting email that came in a day ago from Marion. And Marion is, she's worried about her English. She's listened to over 60 of the shows on archives so far.
Wow.
And she's using the show to learn how to speak English.
Well, that's good.
No, it's not good.
Oh, it isn't good, is it?
No. What do you think it's good?
She can get good English from me.
Really? The guy that wants to grease a camel.
Hey, listen, you're the one that mixed it up with a pig.
Yeah, I almost think that
Melvin,
I should apologize.
Melvin instead of Moses.
I'm almost to the point that we should apologize to this poor woman, Marion. I forget where she's, it's a really long email. She's in a foreign country somewhere. And I can't remember where she is, but it's in Europe somewhere. But I just wanted to read that. Okay, we've got another email here that says, they got two questions, it says, came in 7 minutes ago. We have two questions. We enjoy your show. We have been listening to you teach about the absolute of God. Okay? It says, we do have faith in healing, and some people need hospitals to get their healing. Today, there was in the news about a couple that lost a child because they believed in healing and didn't go to the doctor's office to see what was causing the child to be sick, and the child was not recovering, and the child died. Now the parents are being charged.
Okay.
And it says, what are your thoughts? That's the first question. The second question is, we know that people can be taught untruths about the word. Why then do you and your family still attend church? Question mark. Says, listening from Oklahoma. Well, that mm-hmm. question is, I don't have a family. It's just me and Ranger.
Right. That question is probably to me.
Well, it's got to be, because everywhere I went, they wouldn't accept a dog. And when I said, well, dog is God spelled backwards, then they just gave me dirty looks and, you know. But let's answer this first question. I don't know about this. Do you know about this? Because I don't watch the news, because I don't.
You know, if it's something that I've heard before, I thought it was quite a long time ago that this happened. So I don't know if it's recent or not. If it's recent, I don't know about it. But if it's
but
a long time ago.
What's your comments on it?
My comment on it is, well, I'm going to start a little different than maybe you might think. Number one, if this is the type of thing that can happen when you don't see something take place, then look at the pressure that the world's putting on people to go the route of what they know, which is medical science. Because if you were to believe God and something weren't to happen for your children in a very negative way, then you could be charged, you could be put in jail. So what does that do? It instills fear in people to just keep going to doctors because, you know what, you just might not get a healing from God. So I think this is a real negative that gets placed in our face and in our way, and I think it's the sign of the time that shows us that we're gonna be faced with more of this, and people are going to have to make some absolute decisions.
I don't know anything about this. I can't speak intelligently to it. All I can do is speak on the most rudimentary, fundamental thing, which is the question itself on my computer screen. If we weren't on the radio, I would say I don't have enough information to give an intelligent response. But since we are on the radio, I feel I have a fiduciary responsibility to draw a line in the dirt and, you know, stand for what we do to represent your show properly. Now, that being said, I think from what this question, and I want to read it again, it says, today there was the news about a couple that lost a child because they believed in healing and didn't go to the doctor's office to see what was wrong, what was causing the child to be sick, and the child was not recovering and the child died. Now, just going on this email and nothing else,
right?
Because anything else would just be stupid on my part. Okay, if someone is praying and nothing good is happening, and the person they're praying for continues to get worse, what about that can be backed up by Christianity?
Right.
Where? Because I base everything dispassionately.
Take your emotions out of it.
I take my emotions out of it, my friendships out of it. I take my flesh out of it. And I just look at things as a spirit being, and I look at things from a scripture standpoint. I take a hard line, because the harder line I take and the more I dispassionately look at things, the less things it seems I have to look at, because grace protects you from all the ridiculous stuff. Now, that being said, if you're keep praying and praying and praying and praying, and someone is continually getting worse, then diagnostically, those aren't prayers.
Something's wrong.
Because if you say, no, they are prayers, and they're praying, and they're Christians, and they believe in God, well, then where does the scripture come in, ask and you shall receive? Because they weren't asking, because if you ask, you receive. Which means that if you work this down diagnostically, like trying to figure out why you got a rattle in your muffler, then you've got to look at this very harsh, hard-hearted fact.
Right.
It wasn't prayers. Because if you say the child died, and you say, no, they were praying, well, then this instant right here completely dismisses the Bible altogether. It shoots whole in just about every chapter, every verse in the Bible.
Right.
Because it says that you can have a relationship with God, you can be with God, you can turn your back on the world, you can deny medical attention, and you can believe in God, and you can ask for God,
and it doesn't work.
And your kid can die. So if what I just said is wrong and is offensive, and someone says, no, God has, and here we are, we're right back to where I started the show.
Right.
There are no limits. There are no boundaries. It's just inconceivable for God to be stopped. There's no speedometer. There's no end to how fast or how far you can go if God was an automobile. Well, then this right here, this whole scenario says that grace had nothing to do with this. This was a misrepresentation on everybody's part. And remember, I don't know anything about this.
Right.
And I'm just going by this email. Now, the second question.
Well, that would be for me, which is, they're asking, why would I still go to church?
I think what this is, I mean, this is, you know what my take is on it? My take is on it that this person, because I don't know who they are, this person probably knows you and your family.
Sure. Well, the answer to that is, number one, I have a family, which means I have three girls and my wife, which means where they're at in their walk with the Lord, at this particular point, there's church to them is still very important to them. And for that reason, I go to church with them. Now, that's not very often because I'm not home very often. I'm usually in church preaching. But with that said, I also want to say this. That's the reason why I started a Bible study at the Hardesty Library on Wednesday night. The reason I started it on Wednesday and not some other night is because Wednesday night is a church night. And that allows my family, my girls and my wife, to be in a service where I'm preaching.
Well,
because on the road, I'm not able to take them with me much on the road.
So. I want to add this, that, and we're going to make it short, but one of your daughters is starting to question some of the stuff she's hearing there. Because she's listening to the show, she's listening to you on Wednesday night, and this place they're going, she's starting to say, it's not making sense.
Well, I can say it's more than one of them. But,
well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but my point is that if you're around other people and you've got connections with other people, and if you're able to break away, fine. But for me, I find that the limited times that I go, because at this particular point, where they're at right now, that's important.
See,
I don't have any problem with that. It's limited, but I did make an amends, and that is, on Wednesday night, I started something where they could get into something very absolute, and the more they hear that, the more it helps to make a dividing line.
What you're saying is one of the biggest problems I have with structures and buildings and organized religions, and that is that it's enough to let you know that you're not bowling. It's enough to let you know that you're doing something spiritual, religious. But then it stops. When people say, they say, why do you come down so hard on organized religion? Why do you come down so hard? Why do you call them buildings and structures and not churches? And I say, because they're not. And the reason I say they're dangerous is because there are the largest majority of people that go to these places, they think it is enough. Not only do they think it's enough, but they think it's the right place, and they think that that's all there is. And I think that that's, you know, tough. Todd and Cheryl in Broken Arrow have texted us 3 times now.
Yeah, they're good folks. They love
the Okay,
show.
We got one here. It says, you may read this. Hi from Birmingham, Alabama. I've missed listening for a bit, so good to be able to tune in again. And this is from someone named Sherry. We got another email here that says, hi, Jim and BJ. This is Lana from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, good.
I love your show very much, and I experience grace more and more every day. Jim, we met at Toronto International Celebration Church. Pastor Peter Youngren. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
I'm working in the prayer center for a month and a half. What's a prayer center?
Well, that's a place where you would call up, and they would have someone there to pray with you.
We got to move on. I'm not even going to touch that one. Oh my gosh! I use most of what you and BJ teach to pray for people. I told them there are spirits, there is nothing wrong with their bodies, and guide them to the reality that Jesus took all their sickness and curses.
Good.
One of the callers asked me if she could cancel her operation appointment after we prayed. I often challenge callers the way you guys do. I have a lot of fun now on the phone, not just to pray for people, but challenge them to live in God's reality. I asked why you asked me, a stranger, to ask to your dad in heaven. I try to help them to contact God personally and believe their own prayers. Well, that's good.
Very good.
I feel I'm doing the talk show like you do with callers with great results, and I love it. I will have to quit my job very soon because no one will need to call us because they know how to connect with God themselves. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you have a blessed life, Jim and BJ. Well, that was nice.
She's listened to the show. Notice what she said? A blessed life?
It's yeah. Nice. That's right, because, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I got somebody really good on that just today. Yeah, they said, have a blessed afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yeah, and I said, you know, I says, what a terrible person you are. And they go, why? And I says, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, there's only a couple hours of daylight, so I'm only blessed for a few hours? I says, you couldn't have given me to the middle of the week? He started laughing. He says, I've never thought about that way. I says, either tell somebody you have the blessed life or at least leave them alone. Right. I said, don't tell me I've only got 3 hours of blessing coming. It says, this is Todd. Sorry, guys. I honestly texted once and I got 3 replies to my 1 text. I don't know what happened. Oh, whatever. Here's what it is. Todd and Cheryl, 3 text. Okay. You know, they just want to hear Todd and Cheryl, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Todd and Cheryl in Broken Arrow. They just want to hear their name. Okay, we got another one here. It says, this is Donna from Michigan. I've been listening to your show archives. This is amazing. I was really blessed today listening to messages 71 recorded on 1/29/13. Thank you for your explanation concerning the church. I was getting a little concerned as I listened to some of your more recent messages and what appeared to be criticism of the church.
It's not criticism of the church.
No, we've never criticized the church.
It's criticism of religious.
Rituals
and tradition.
See, you could say it's tomato, tomato, and it's really me. And don't get mad at Jim, but it's me because I'm the one who really carries this banner, so to speak. It's organized religion and the buildings they meet in. And the impression that they give you that if you want God in your life, if you're going to be closer to God, if you want things to happen, that it has to happen under their roof and their ways. That is not what Scripture says. Because God is in your garage. God is at work. God is in a bowling alley. God is in this barn right now. God is in my pasture. Where would God not be? Because now you're placing limits and boundaries. And I don't like the misinformation and the fact that it's more about keeping the business going than it is. I've said it before. The best success we could have for Jim's radio show is for nobody to listen at all. Because they'd say, you know, and we've had it.
Right.
We had a lady that says, you're right. I'm not going to listen ever again. I got it. I'm having conversations with God. Grace is in my life. All my prayers are being answered. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Because a real church, the only reason they get together is to try to one-up each other. Well, Grace fixed my flat tire. Grace did my laundry. Grace fixed my neighbor's dog. It's about testimonies of seeing action, of works. And that's when you worship God, because how can you worship God? How can you really have fellowship when there's no productivity, when nothing is really happening other than shaking hands, singing songs, eating coffee and donuts, and doing it once a week? I don't see that. Okay, we got another email here. That's it. We're all caught up. Oh, it says, how do we get consistency in healing? This is a new text that just came in. Jim, how do you get consistency in healing?
Well, first of all, healing is something that's already been given to you. So the real thought of Christianity is that your consistency is never getting sick, because you're fellowshipping with God and there is a continual flow of life and grace and health in your body. So if you're talking about consistency in healing, that comes from your relationship, knowing God, spending time with Him, learning. And listen, the more time you spend and the more quality your time spent, the more your eyes are open to what is real, the less you'll buy into the idea that sickness is possible. And you literally start dismissing things all over the place. For instance, pain, sickness, discomfort, the idea that something could be worse, something could be bad. I prayed for a lady this week, and I'd given the story about a lady that I asked when she was really struggling with things. I said, can you get in neutral and just let me help you? And when this lady came up, she referenced that story by saying, you know, I had a biopsy. I get my report tomorrow, what it's all about. And she said, I just can't get in neutral. And I said, no, you really can. You just have to dismiss the thoughts that come. She said, well, that's the problem. You know, there's so many thoughts that come that have negativity to it. But here's the deal. Well, who says those thoughts are yours? Those thoughts are just random thoughts that come because you're struggling really with the confidence of your relationship with God. When you know somebody so well and they have the ability to take care of you, why would you struggle if you know that they're on the job and they've got it handled? You wouldn't struggle at all. So the struggle that we have and the inconsistency that we have is directly related to how real God is to you. Because that's exactly when you begin to compromise, you begin to have all the things that we've been talking about on the show. You begin to have all this conjecture about, well, I can hope I can just feel a little bit better instead of all the way better. And maybe if I don't feel enough better, then I'll go get all kinds of checkups done and I'll have all kinds of surgeries done and medications can be done while I'm just trusting the Lord at the same time. And all of that shows a very lack of connection. Let me put it to you this way. If you took a hairdryer or you took a radio and you're constantly trying to find a station and can't get any music, did you check to see if you're plugged in? With the hairdryer, you're flipping the switch back and forth. Mom, I can't get this to work. I'm flipping the switch, but it won't work. How come it won't? And what's the first thing that she's going to say? Did you check to see if it's plugged in? And when you look at it and go, oh, it's not plugged in. Well, what was the problem? Is it that you weren't flipping the switch enough? No, it's you don't have a connection. There needs to be a flow of electricity. And in your life, the number one thing that happens when you get saved is you get connected to God. But religion pulls that connection right out of you by getting you to go along with a system that is anti-relationship.
I think, and I've said this before many, many times, never, ever in my entire life have I ever seen so many people accept redundancy and failure. I know people that they'll go to a restaurant, and if their waitress isn't Johnny on the spot, they get up and go. Or they don't leave a tip because they didn't get exactly what they want. Or they'll never come back to the restaurant because the water was warm and the coffee was cold. They're very critical, very demanding, and they want it just their way. I know, and I've done this. I've put tires, I mean, you know, you've seen it. You know, I've got, right. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 Ford trucks on the ranch. I've been at the tire store before with one of these trucks, and when they're balancing a new tire, if it takes too many weights, I say, you know what? That tire's taking too much weight. Go get another tire off the rack. I don't want that much weight on one of my wheels. And they'll say, okay. I've seen people at a grocery store, if a can, like if it's a can of pork and beans or a can,
right,
of soup,
right,
and it has a dent in it, they won't buy it because it has a dent. Now, I'm not saying these as criticizing things. And by the way, I don't buy dented cans. My grandmother said, don't ever buy a can that's got a dent in it. And I says, why? And she says, well, because a perfect can is the same price. That was, you know, grandma's way of looking at it.
Just simple.
Just simple logic.
Yep.
You know, why buy a dented can for 89 cents when you could have a perfect one for the same price? But my point is this. Only organized religion and quote-unquote Christianity,
mm-hmm,
it's the only place where people seem to be complacent, happy, and really think that it's okay to have less than all.
Right.
To compromise, to sit back and literally worship and ask and sing and give money and do this for years on a regular weekly basis and have nothing to show for it but the time spent.
Yeah, well, I think that also proves...
I don't understand that.
Well, it also proves a point, and that is, most of these places that you're talking about, it's not like they don't read some wonderful scriptures that could give people results. So what does it really speak of? It shows you that when you get into a group where people aren't experiencing God, the power of the group and the witness of not experiencing God is greater than the scriptures that is given. Now think about that thought for a moment. You get into a group, and the people that are in the group are not experiencing God. Hardly anybody gets healed, and yet a message is given about healing. And in that message is information for everybody in that room to be well. Or a message is given about the allness of God. You can have all of Him.
Yeah.
He's in you. In fact, I got a scripture right here. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the expectation of God's grace and His power. Okay, that message is given. How come very rarely anybody experiences Christ in you and all of His power? Because the power of, now listen to the way I say it, the power or the influence of the group and what they're all not experiencing is greater than the scripture that's given.
Donna sent us another email. Got it a minute ago. It says, "Thank you again, Jim and BJ. I understand what you are saying. Please don't misunderstand. I was not upset, just a little concerned." Were you upset? I wasn't upset. I didn't think anything of it.
No.
Shame that she thought that. That's your fault, not mine.
Well, sorry if we came across the wrong way.
Hey, soup to nut. Let's just get it out in the open, okay, Mr. Hutt? I'm the one that's always on an even keel. You're the boat rocker in this barn.
Right.
And it says, "I love this show, and you have given me so much information and so many things to think about."
I feel so bad for Marion.
For who?
Marion. She's learning English by this show.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Marion, wherever you are on the face of the planet,
learn it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But listen to the show.
Can you just imagine her going into a store and saying...
Oh, my gosh, she's going to sound like
Greased Camel. What's wrong with sounding like me? You know, I gave you 2 cookies tonight from my house.
It was totally needed. Thank you. You put me over.
That's not the point. The point is I give you food from my cupboard.
Yes.
And then you say things that are so hurtful to my heart.
And you blame the whole pig and greased camel on me.
It's your show.
2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this, folks. It's going to talk about pigs and... No, it's not.
What's it going to say?
I want you to see something, because as we're talking about this, I'm not making a change in direction at all. I just want to help emphasize a few thoughts so that you can think about. And this goes back to my opinion about how much I like the Message Bible. And it doesn't mean I don't like the New King James Version, but I want you to see something here. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith by us, or with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." I want to stop right there, and I want to read this same thing through the Message Bible. And the reason I'm doing this is to show you how we can become very religious sounding in the way that we read the Bible through, let's say, the New King James or the King James Version, the way that we articulate ourselves into what I call like a Christian ease, almost like a language, and miss the point that everything that I just read, even though you're still trying to figure it out, has everything to do with something so simple, and it's the depth of your experience with God. Now listen to it out of the Message Bible. "I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours. all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Everything that goes into life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. BJ, I'd like to just bring open this subject for a second, because we can hear things that we've heard before. In my opinion,
right,
and this may, someone may have a different opinion, and this isn't open for argument because it doesn't matter. It's just an opinion. My opinion is that this particular version, which I've had for years and years and years, the New King James or the King James Version, the words are so religious sounding, you have to think so hard to what they mean, that they cause us to miss what I just read, which is so clear, that Paul, that Peter's talking about everything that has to do with deepening your experience with God, and this comes across with so many big words, religious sounding words, people can miss the whole thing and yet feel like they have something religious. I don't know if that makes sense, but
No, it does. No, you're making sense. I understand what you're saying.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm endeavoring to help people. We need to protect ourselves against being able to quote scriptures and being able to speak in a language that sounds very religious at the expense of, is the Bible working for you to produce a relationship and an experience with God? It has to. If it's not, then it's very possible that you're listening and hearing in a very religious way. And I would dare say...
I agree with what you're saying.
I would dare say that most people are listening in a very religious way.
I don't think they have a choice because they don't know any better. I mean, not to be disrespectful or insult anybody, but it goes to what, you know, it's really a shame that we don't.
Oh,
I mean, but
well, let me
our conversations that we
right.
have here.
Right.
After the show, before the show, our telephone conversations.
Right.
You know, you always say our telephone conversations are, you know, great radio. I think that, and I talked about this specifically before the show tonight. I said it's literally the blind leading the blind. The man or woman standing on stage in a pulpit, all they're saying is what they were taught and what they believe and what they know to be true. And the person that taught them those things, all they were doing was passing along what they thought was true and what they thought to be real. And it literally is the blind leading the blind.
Right.
I mean, it's very, very tough, that for people to, well, I'll give you an example. I don't know what would, I'm sure I would be in jail for something, but if I was in New York City where there's people that go their whole lives without a driver's license, they don't even know how to drive a car. They've never owned a car because they walk and they take taxis and subways.
Right, subways, yeah.
And they live in a city that, you know, the only country to them is Central Park.
Right.
I don't know what they would do. Because I've talked to people, you know, and they say, well, how much land do you have? And I says, well, Central Park is 100 acres. And they go, yeah. And I says, 10 Central Parks. You know, and they go,
right.
What? And I says, 10, that's 1,000 acres. There's 1,000 acres here, and we got horse trails scattered over it. There's four ponds. There's an island with a bridge. There's 60 acres of trees. You know, and they go, I just can't imagine. And they go, and I says, you know what else? And what? I says, well, my front door of my house is never locked. The vehicles aren't locked. And they go, why? And I says, well, there's no crime out here. Everybody's got guns. Mm-hmm. I says, it's just a well-known fact. You don't go to the country. You don't go to where the ranchers and the farmers are because even grandma's got a gun.
Right.
And they just said, I just can't imagine living out in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's what you know to be true.
Right.
It's reality. It's like telling someone that lives in the rainforest that has never worn shoes that they have to put something on their feet to walk. And it would be the opposite. They're saying, well, take your boots and socks off and walk around in the forest.
Right.
I think it's that radical of a difference. I think if people look at the difference between being a spirit being and worshiping God to being a religious person and being a human being, I think if they look at their life has to change, their perspective has to be that different.
Right.
Because that's the way I did it.
Sure.
I mean, I sat and listened to you and I thought, okay, this guy really isn't full of himself. He's not arrogant. You know, and I thought, well, his handshake isn't that bad. And, you know, I was just thinking about you, and I mm-hmm. thought, okay, I'll listen more. I'll come a couple more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, you know, comparing and listening and think about it, and it made pretty good sense. And then I said, look, for me to try to have a relationship with God, I've got to completely change.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a dog, and I need to be a cat. Or I'm a cat, and I need to be a goat, whatever, however you want to put it. But it's that radical of a change because that is the humbling part.
Yeah, and you're talking about your perspective had to change.
Yes, because repenting is not feeling guilty.
Right.
Repenting means a drastic change. It says if you're doing something wrong, repent, which means change completely.
Yeah.
And I think that point sometimes doesn't get explained clearly or gets overlooked or something. Because if someone just sits in a chair, takes a deep breath and says, okay, I've got to completely change. And I'm not talking about the color of their socks or their jewelry or what they have for breakfast or how they talk. It means how they feel. Because how you feel what? Leads to how you think.
Right.
And how you think leads to what? Your actions.
Right.
And that's the difference between having spiritual Christian actions and being part of the world. There's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. I think that's that. We got something here that says, it says, we really like this last comment about 2 Peter and Message Bible and producing a relationship with God. Thanks. Kitchen Counter People.
Oh, good.
And the Kitchen Counter People are in Minnesota. The questions tonight have been so great. Thank you for your absolute answers. Well, no, thanks for the questions. 2 emails to get to here. It says, the first one is, I agree with you guys. I have always wondered in Revelations, the scripture said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her or out of here? I bet it's here.
Come out from among you, my people?
Well, it says H-E-R, her, but I bet it's here. I bet they misspelled it. It says, come out of here, my people, right? Is that what Revelation says?
Wow.
I'll have to go over there first. No, I bet it is, because listen to this next part. It says, I'm going to read it this way. Come out of here, my people, if it meant the churches, I myself left organized religion 26 years ago. Today, church is like a circus, a production, a show. People parading around in their best clothes, decked out to impress. The kids are going to play games, meet up, and have fun, not to mention all the stuff they sell and try to push on you. Many, many people call me a sinner because I do not attend, but I have found more grace and feel the presence of God in nature. This is from some Terry. Boy, do I agree with that one. That was, it was here. That's what they okay. meant by that. Let's see, Joy again, it says, the basics in preaching. When Jesus had so many people pressing upon him, he sent out his disciples and told them to preach the kingdom of God. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil freely. You have received, freely give. He didn't send them out to give the 7 steps to answered prayer.
Right, right.
So I guess they're agreeing with...
Well, yeah, I mean, send them out to produce results, to show people what it's really like to have a relationship.
Got one
with
God. Here from someone named Julie. It says, thank you, Jim, for clarifying that. Most Word of Faith churches are teaching the Bible, but the problem is very rarely are there results as far as destroying the works of the devil that Jesus came to do. Mostly in church settings, testimonies revolve around monetary things. Healing is almost non-existent. People are willed in wheeled in wheelchairs and are wheeled out the same way. That's always bothered me. Even before I heard the show, we've been taught that nothing about God is absolute. Keep doing what you're doing. You're helping those who want more. Now, see, one thing I've always told you, I said, you know, I had a friend, her name's Patty, and she literally, it was tough because I had to get up early to do chores, and, you know, I had to stop at a gas station and make sure that my boots were clean. And we'd hit 4 or 5 buildings on a Sunday morning. She took me all around Tulsa. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat in Tulsa without hitting a building. There's buildings everywhere. It's got to be the capital of religion. I don't know if it is, but there just seems like there's some kind of religious building everywhere. And they're always building new
pretty
ones.
Pretty much.
They're always building new ones. Well, anyways, every place we went, it was literally about the place we were at. It was almost a marketing tool. It was about, we're glad you're here, doesn't matter why you're here, but we're all together now, and we're going to stay together, and this is where we worship, and this is, you know, this is the capital.
This is your home.
This is your, this is your home. And I said, this isn't my home. And he says, why is this? Because it doesn't smell like horse manure. And Patty goes, BJ. And I says, you know, I says, it smells like manure, but it's not horse. You know, and Patty just rolled her eyes and she goes, I'm really sorry. She says, you can't talk like that. And I go, why can't I talk like that? And she says, because we're in church. And I go, Patty, I'm pretty sure this isn't a church. You know, and she would
roll her eyes.
Yeah, and she'd say, where, you know, and I says, what? I says, I'm just telling the truth. Are you not supposed to speak from the heart when you're in a place like this? Well, you know me.
Right,
you
right.
Know, but poor Patty, you know. But I think, Jim, I mean, honestly, if we look at all the texts we've had tonight, we look at all the emails we've had tonight, I think that, what do I think? I think it's very, very difficult for someone to, I mean, we've literally just said that you've got that water's dry and dirt is wet.
Right.
The sky is not blue, it's green, and grass isn't green, it's blue.
Right. That's what we're inferring tonight.
I just don't know how to get away from that particular message. Because if you really look through the Bible and you pick it apart and you take different books and different verses, it's real harsh. It's real absolute. You know, it's like I told you before the show tonight, I said, it's like Satan and God, they're sitting on a park bench. And they're just watching people walk by. And God says, well, that one's not good enough for me. And then Satan says, well, he's not bad enough for me. It's like they're not doing good enough work to go to heaven, and they're not being bad enough to go to hell. Right. But they're just literally, they're like in neutral, revving their engine.
People are being trained to not make any decisions. You know, last week at the library, I was talking about repentance, and I made the statement, if you're not experiencing grace with regularity and your experiences are increasing, it's because there's a need to repent. And you might not understand repentance. And repentance is all about humility, which is acknowledging where you're wrong so you can turn and have what is right. Now, it only makes sense because you'll find in different passages of Scripture that it reiterates that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In fact, it talks over there about Moses, that Moses was one of the most humble men upon the face of the earth. And it says that when God spoke to him, he didn't just speak from afar, and he didn't just speak with words that gave a partial meaning. He spoke with absoluteness. Moses heard the exact words that God spoke, and Moses saw him face to face. And why would Moses have that type of experience? because he was humble. He was a man that learned how to see what was right by acknowledging what was wrong. In other words, Moses was a man that was quick to repent. And that's where grace becomes so real. Now, if you're listening to this, and I'm not getting off on another subject, I'm staying right along the point of what we've been talking about. If you're listening to this, you should be able to say, that makes such great sense. Sure, I see how that scripture really works. And yet, there were individuals at the meeting that looked extremely perplexed and even said and made comments, I'm going to really have to process this. I'm going to really have to think about this in a very perplexed way.
I think it goes back to what we just got a text, just came up on the screen. It says, oh my gosh, it says BJ is a brat.
Who said that?
I'm not kidding. It says BJ is a brat, but I loved the response to the child dying question. I could not possibly agree more. Perfect answer. This is from someone named Todd. I don't even know who Todd is.
There's a lot of Todds out there.
No one's ever called me a brat.
No?
That's actually, I mean, I've been called.
Is that a first?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the most polite, passive, non-insulting things that someone has ever called me. Usually people put like three or four words together. Almost like a sentence. BJ is a blankety blank, blankety blank. BJ is such a blankety blank, blankety blank. But no one has ever said, I'm a brat.
Marion, don't use this show for your English.
No. No, please. It's a bad mistake.
Please go to, what's the thing you can learn all the languages from? It's,
What?
Oh, you know, they sell it, and you can learn a language real quickly. What's it called again?
Oh, Stone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rosetta Stone.
Go to
Rosetta Stone.
You know, Rosetta Stone, I've heard, works because I want to learn Spanish.
Really?
Very badly. I've always wanted to learn Spanish, yeah. But you know what? It's not cheap. To learn Spanish, to get all the tapes and everything,
how much is it?
About $800 to $1,000.
That must be for like all languages.
No, it's for Spanish.
Just one.
One language and all language. Some languages are even more expensive than that. Yeah,
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
It's very expensive.
It is. That's why I didn't do it. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we're going to say adios in just a little bit.
But
goodbye.
You want to say something to music?
Yeah, I do. Father, I'm so grateful for our opportunity to get together with all these people and just talk about your grace and your love. And I ask you to cause the hearts of everyone that's listening to relax, open their heart, and open their mind to the things that they've heard. And at least bring the question of, God, help me, show me, I want to know more. Will you open my mind and open my heart to receive? Father, I ask you right now that they would have eyes that would be opened and ears that would be receptive to what we've shared, so the simple truth of God's grace and love would be experienced, and they wouldn't just experience it once or twice or partial experience, but they'd experience you in your fullness. In your precious name, amen. You know what else, BJ? I just believe that there's some people out there, and this is just coming up in my heart, and I want to go ahead and keep on playing the music. I just want to pray for someone that is having some heart problems. And the first thing I want to pray to you about is just have peace. Don't be alarmed. I know what you're feeling, and you may be really scared that this could be really bad. It could lead to a heart attack. But God's grace is with you right now, and you'll literally have this thing turned around before you wake up in the morning if you'll just relax. Get yourself in neutral, which means just don't think anything at all and just be so thankful that you can sleep all night long and wake up in the morning and have an amazing day tomorrow. You'll see that God is touching you right now. And there's somebody else here, as I'm speaking, that you're having some problems with acid reflux. And I want you to know, if I were you, go get something to eat that literally would either put you on the floor or cause you to be healed in Jesus' name, because you are. And you're going to find out that you're blessed and your body as well. in Jesus' name.
So you're saying to have people eat something that would just hurt them badly?
Yeah, challenge yourself.
You mean like fruits and vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables are good.
Fruits and vegetables are... How can fruits and vegetables be good when they spoil within a week or two? Do you realize that I left a Kit Kat candy bar in the cab of one of the tractors on the ranch from last year's hay baling, which was the first week of June, and I found it today? So that's... What is that? That's like 10 months. 10 months of being in the cab of a tractor. And you know what? That candy bar was delicious.
You know,
it was fresh. It was. Do you know what would happen if any fruit or vegetable was in the cab of the tractor for 10 months?
Do you know what would happen if we lit a match too close to you? You might actually go off with all those preservatives. I was watching a show. Just a clip of a show of this Dr. Oz, whoever he is, and they had a hamburger that was stuffed into this guy's pocket, and the wife put it in a closet, and that thing stayed there, that coat stayed there for some, was it 13 or 16 years?
15 years there was a hamburger.
And when they pulled it out and looked at it, there was no mold, there was no fungus. Fungus couldn't grow on it, mold couldn't grow on it, and it looked just like it did 15 years earlier.
See, that's why I think that when they serve fruits and vegetables to kids, I think it's child abuse.
Why? Because if it was bad, you wouldn't serve it. The only way to serve it is if it was a good fruit or a good vegetable.
I don't know.
Because look it, they could have turned around and given that to somebody and warmed it up in a microwave and eaten a hamburger that sat in a coat pocket in a closet for 15 years. You wouldn't have known it.
You know what? I don't think there's very many things in life that compare to a Rice Krispie square.
Well, you know what? I almost agree with you there because I really like them too.
Folks, I'm sorry that Jim goes off on these tangents on the show. Do you think did we cover what you wanted to cover?
We did, and I believe next week we can cover even some more of it.
Just to let you know, we set a new record tonight for listeners.
You're kidding. What was it?
41.
Wow. That's awesome. Now we're in the 40s.
We're in the 40s. Well, we were tonight.
Yep.
But obviously, I'm a brat.
Don't take that personally.
I wonder if he spelled it wrong and he means brat, like he thinks I'm a hot dog or something.
That is so good. I wouldn't have thought of that. You know what? Let's just assume that's it.
Folks, Ranger, we want to thank you all for logging on and listening to the show. It'll take me about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show up and streaming. Until then, last week's show will instantly start playing. And remember, you do not have to wait for tonight's show to be on the archives. It'll be streaming live on the live part all week long. Take care of yourselves and your pets. And thank you so much for listening to Jim and I. Have a good night.
Good night, folks.
Ranger!
What is up?
Come on. Well, I think that's enough said. When Ranger talks, there really isn't anything else to be said. Have a good night. Bye.